Buenos días, morning. It's a little bit difficult to be here with all those lights facing you, and my eyes need to be adjusted. First of all, I would like to thank the organization, the organizers of the conference, for giving me the opportunity to be here talking about the novels of Rizal from a literary point of view, which is not the usual one. Then I would like to thank the Spanish Embassy in the Philippines. It is thanks to their support that I'm here with you. And also, of course, thank you for sitting here at this very rainy day and coming to listen to us. I will try to make a short presentation. It's going to be really a summary of what is in the paper, which I hope in the future you can read complete. I will be like jumping from one point to another, because I will try to go directly to the main points or the main ideas I would like to show you. And also be aware that this is a work in progress. And so since there is no time for questions or discussion, you have my email address in the program, and I will give it to you here. So if any of you have any insights, suggestions, or comments, then please feel free to send me your questions or suggestions. Please go to the text. First, shortly, a brief introduction about how I came to study the novels of Rizal from a literary point of view. When I started teaching here, I read this essay by national artist Joaquín Nexplis, written in 1951. And then he said these words in that article. So I started thinking about how come that two novels were not studied from a literary point of view. Nexplis. So what I did is I started teaching the novels within their literary context. I was very lucky to be teaching at the Ateneo de Manila University at the English department, and they gave me the opportunity to offer this course entitled The Literary Context of the Noli and the Fili, a course which I was able to teach from 1998 to 2002. Next, please. And then it was thanks to Father Bernard that I was able to get a very good group of students working together with me in the study of the novels of Rizal. And I would like just very briefly to remember one of these students who was at that time already a senior citizen, who just enrolled in this course for the pleasure of studying the novels of Rizal from a literary point of view. So it is to their memory I like to dedicate this my work on the novels. Next, please. These are a few words that Nick Joaquin said in that article. I would like to point to two qualities of the novels: fun and audacity. Please go to the next. Next, please. Okay, so for me, the first important step was to place the novels in a literary course, in a course about literature. Next, please. And then second was to study the novels together with other literary works. As these other literary works, without any doubt, were considered great works and works of literature, and not being studied from ideological or historical point of view, little by little, in that reading process, the students and I were used to read the novels in a literary context. So that helped us to look for the literary strategies or the literary devices or other details are stylistic details in the novels. Next, please. So here is just a brief example of some of the readings we did together with the novels of Rizal. Next, please. Okay, my presentation today will focus on French classicism, and the theory behind is that we study the novels in their intertextuality with other works, and we consider this intertextuality not as simple as to say there is an influence and there are elements from this novel into this other novel. No. A writer, when a writer takes influences from other work, that writer usually has decided to take that influences and also makes a very thorough process of revising the work that is being his or her source and renovates that work. Next, please. Can we go to the next, please? Well, okay. I will focus on the moralist French writers of the 17th century, and this is a picture of La Bruyère. Next, please. And then we will try to show a few points about how Rizal read in the moralist writers and the French classicism. Next, please. The previous one. Okay. So what I will try to do is a very short presentation of who are these moralists and what they did, and the Cartesian method of thinking. I suppose, and I'm sure you have heard about Descartes and his philosophy, and how this there are elements of this philosophy in the novels of Rizal through La Bruyère and through the moralist writers. And then a short presentation about the sententiousness and the reader's implication in the novels. Next, please. Okay, here is an example of a maxim. The work of the moralists is basically a collection of anecdotes, maxims, aphorisms, epigrams, short philosophical essays. And you have here an example from the book of La Bruyère. The book of La Bruyère is entitled Characters. Next, please. This period and these writers were mostly under the time of the Louis XIV, the absolute emperor, known as the Sun King or Apollo. Can we go to the next, please? Okay, there is a problem here. Anyway. No problem. I will just tell you. Okay, the work of La Bruyère was initially published as anonymously because this is a period of absolute regime. So in these maxims and sayings that La Bruyère is collecting together in his book, he is making a very strong critique of that society, of the morals of that society, and also of the power in relation with money, with affections, with the church, everything in the society. So initially, he published the book anonymously using, not the problem. Okay, you see the idea that he is publishing a translation of a Greek author, and then he included initially 420 entries, and then finally the book was published under his name with a total of 1,920 entries. This is just to give you an example of how the book is arranged under number. The entries are collected in 16 chapters, and they are numbered. And I just wanted to point to you that one of the main topics of La Bruyère is hypocrisy. And then I wanted to point this to you because this is a very important theme in La Bruyère, and as it will be also in Rizal's novels. And I would like to make a connection with the words of Professor Alatas yesterday in his lecture, as he mentioned that this is one of the very important topics to be studied. I also try to study this from a literary point of view. Next, please. Okay, well, anyway, I will summarize and we'll try to go to further part of the presentation. Okay, the idea is that Rizal read the characters of La Bruyère. Rizal also read the work of other moralist writers, and we know that he was very much familiar with the French literature of that period. Next, please. Okay, now going to the car, the main points that I would like to point to you is that in the philosophy of Descartes, this is really a very brief idea about the philosophy of Descartes, is that he provided a sure key to knowledge by pushing doubt itself to the stream, and this is what it applies in the literature, in the work of La Bruyère and the moralist. They push doubt to the extreme by using irony, parody, satire. And one of the principles of the organization of the work of La Bruyère comes from the philosophy of Descartes. That is the rule of proceeding from the simplest subjects to the most complex subjects. Next, please. Next, please. Okay. Then just a very short definition of, next please. Okay, here. Can you read it? Yeah, okay. This is shortly the structure of the chapters in La Bruyère work. On the column of the left, you find the titles, the exact titles of the work in La Bruyère. And then on the right column, you can see a summary, a content, a theme of those chapters. And they are grouped by topics. Initially, the work starts with a chapter just about what is the purpose of writing. And then a first group about the individual and the work of the individual. Next, please. Then there is a group of chapters about the outside forces that are waiting upon man, such as the great, the sovereign, the state. Next, please. Then it returns to mankind, but this time it's talking about the lasting and enduring aspects of humanity. And then a next group is about the inconstancy and the arbitrariness of man's decisions, affections, and so on, that affect the evolution of civilization. Next, please. Sorry, can you go to the previous one, please? I forgot. The last chapter is quite important because it's devoted to the free thinkers. And then is where he deals with the weakness and strength of human intelligence. Next, please. I'm doing a work in progress comparing the chapters of La Bruyère with the chapters of the Noli and the Fili. As in our class, the first things that the students and I found quite striking is that there are certain similarities between the titles of the chapters in the novels of Rizal and La Bruyère. Obviously, it's not the same because La Bruyère is a collection of entries and it's 16 chapters. In the novels, they have a plot, a story, and it's like 64 chapters and 39 chapters. So there are similarities, but not exactly correspondence. Next, please. So what we did is not only look at the title of the chapters and see the content. So we could arrive to the conclusion that there is a guiding element, as the same as in the characters, in the nolly and in the philly, more particularly in the nolly, of going from the simple subjects to the most complex subjects and following a similar structure to that of the characters. Can we go to the next, please? Okay, so if we compare the first group of chapters of La Bruyère and with Nolly and Philly, they deal particularly with the individuals. Next, please. And then there is a group of chapters that do have a similarity also in the titles, like in the Nolly, as you can see in the Nolly together with La Bruyère. And also in the Philly, the title Los Baños has no relation, but the content, yes, because it's about the governor. Next, please. So there is another group related to mankind, the same as La Bruyère. Next, please. Then about arbitrariness, affections, and the inconstancy in human behavior. Next, please. And then at the Nolly, we can stop these similarities with the chapter The Free Thinker, but the Philly ends with a final chapter which can be compared in relation to the topic and the thing with the chapter in the Nolly, The Free Thinker, and the last chapter of the characters. Next, please. Then I will just give you an example of how the maxim works in the novels of the Nolly and the Philly. There are a lot, and we have time just to look at one of them as an example. This is dealing with the sententiousness and the reader's implication. Let me just go to the text. Can we go to the next, please? Okay, I will read it in Spanish. Desde la escena de San Diego, you have it there in English. Simón no había vuelto a ver ni al joven ni al capitán Tiago. ¿Cómo está el enfermo? Preguntó, echando una rápida ojeada por el cuarto y fijándose en los folletos que mencionamos, cuyas hojas aún no estaban cortadas. Los latidos del corazón imperceptibles, pulso débil, apetito perdido por completo, repuso Basilio, con sonrisa triste y en voz baja. Suda profusamente a la madrugada. Y viendo que Simón, por la dirección de la cara, se fijaba en los dichos folletos y temiendo volviese a reanudar el asunto de que hablaron en el bosque, continuó. El organismo está saturado de veneno. De un día a otro puede morir como herido del rayo. La causa más pequeña, un nada, una excitación, le puede matar. A prognosis. A description of a person who is about to die. Now, the writer uses the style of the moralist, the aphorist style or epigrammatic style, and then, next please. Como Filipinas, observó lúgubremente Simón. It has changed completely the reader, the reading of the description. Can we go to the next, please? Next, please. This is just another example of the kind of maxims and sayings that are all through the two novels. Next, please. Next, I'm going because I know I'm running out of time. Okay, here. So the important thing here is that this kind of connections reveal the pervasiveness and the sententiousness of the novels of Rizal. I will try to explain now how they work. Because the narrative of events are all the time with accompanying maxims. And this makes the narration a description and also a possible law, a doxa, a moral about. Next, please, about that society. This is a short definition of what a maxim is. A concise expression of doctrine or principle or any generally accepted truth convey a pithy or memorable statement. But the maxim also has combines wit and wisdom. Next, please. So we use the maxim in a very open sense, including epigram, saying, axiom. Next, please. Okay. Okay. There is also the maxim is not only a right of the narrator, as it may happen in other novels or in other writings. The maxims are scattered through the two novels, and also the characters are entitled to produce the maxim. Next, please. Okay. Though the maxim usually, as in the characters of La Bruyère in the Moralist work, is supposed to be timeless and prescriptive, within the novels, the maxims are bound to the time of the narration, and they are thought-provoking. Next, please. Okay, so what is being narrated, what is being described, and the back, and particularly the maxims, cannot be collected as in the work of La Bruyère. They cannot be put number and as group, because there is a work of interaction between the characters, the narrator, and the reader. Please, next. As it happened in this quotation, in this part of the novel that we just read. From a description, the words of Simone changed the meaning of the last paragraph of the prognosis of Basilio about Capitan Tiago. And then, next please, here we need our participation as readers, because we are the ones to decide whether Simone is right or not. And we will decide, or we will have our opinion about what Simone just said, with our experience about the novel itself. We have to just, using the reading we just did, I mean, what we know about the story that is being told. Next, please. So here, there are three levels of reading. One is the Basilio prognosis. The second level is Simone's reading, and the third is our reading as readers. Next, please. So the important thing is that the novels are challenging all the time the reader's response, as they are intertwined with the novels. Next, please. So it requires our knowledge and our experience. Next, please. And there are two paths to deal with these maxims. One is appropriation, and the other one is expansion. And most of the time, the novels are calling for expansion. Appropriation will mean, okay, this is a saying, and we believe this saying is true, and then we take it as our moral. And then we may be able to get all these maxims. That would be one option. We take out the maxims from the novels, the Noli and the Fili, we make them a quotation, and then we listed them and number them. And that stops the reading. Once we get them there, we make them our law or our principle. But the novels and the way they are constructed, what are calling us for doing is expansion. Next, please. This is another example, but I think I have no time, so next, please. Next, please, and next, please. Okay, with the expansion, what requires is to subject those sentences to interrogation interpretation and replacement. Next, please. So the most interesting maxims are those that are really subject to this interpretation. So that's, of course, a very big difference between a character's book of La Bruyère, which is a collection, and we cannot interact with those maxims, and the novels, because we as readers may interact, may do our interpretation of those maxims. Next, please. Again, I'm sorry, I have no time for more details, but you may go to the beginning of the Philly when Ben Said makes generalization of the legend of the Chinaman in the Laguna. Next, please. Next. Next. And next. I have to go to the conclusions. Stop here. In that chapter at the beginning of the Philly, what I told you about the Ben Said, the writer, and the legend of the Chinaman, we have four levels of reading. Then is first the legend, we may believe the legend or not. Then we have Ben Said's reading, who talks about doing anthropological study and a study of religions. And then we have the third level, which is Simon. Can we go to the previous one, please? Or the previous one. There. Thank you. And Simon is thinking, and then Ben Said asks him. And then what Simon says, could the petrified animals I have seen in various museums in Europe have been victims of some antediluvian saint? So he's making a generalization of the legend and making a parody of what Ben Said is thinking to do. Third. And then, of course, fourth, us readers, do we agree with the legend? Do we agree with the ideas of Ben Said? What do we think about the Simon's parody and maxim? Maxim. Next, please. Next and next. Next. And next. I'm so sorry. Okay, the important thing is that there is a play, as you can see, between the different characters and how they make interpretations and how they make the maxims. And there is also another level in the novel that is the narrator. And the narrator also is entitled to give us maxims and also to respond to this process of appropriation and reinterpretation of the maxim. This is something that the narrator also does within the novels. Next, please. Okay, so this is the conclusion, that the novels are promoting the experience of reading as a speculative thinking process, and these layers, through the use of the maxim, are really trying to provoke us readers in this process. Please, next. So there is a really a laborious processing of information in the novels through these sayings. Next, please. So they are trying to get us readers in solving some of the two examples, particularly the first example we read here. It's quite easy to solve the comments of Simon about Basilio's prognosis about the health of Capitan Tiago. But there are other maxims some of them are quite difficult, others are not easy to solve. There are some maxims that when you read the first paragraph, then you have to go back and think, okay, this is very epigrammatic. This last word has changed completely the meaning of the paragraph or the page I just read. So I have to go and read again the page under this new meaning that this last word has given me. That is a hard breathing process. Next, please. Oh, okay. let's see if there is a next one. If not, I will read it. Okay, just go to the previous one. Previous one and previous one. Okay, just here, and I will read from my paper the last conclusion. So the novels and the maxims and the sayings scattered all through the two novels are not there for collection, are there for interpretation, and they are there trying to challenge the reader's response. But I believe the aim of Rizal is making the readers to think, because this interpretation of the maxims will define a new moral, and that is the point here, that as a reader we create our principles, our doxa, our new moral through our interpretation of the maxims that are being given to us. And then I think it's time for me to finish. Next, please. And next. Muchas gracias.